instance, you know, in anthropology, study of man, we learn that mankind knew that they would float long before he invented fire. You know, the primitive man standing by the riverside, the river is in flood, and he sees trees being washed away, and somehow the trees come somewhere nearby, one of them, and then he wades in and he gets onto the tree and sees this carrying his weight, even floating, and he's jumping, hey, it's like, it's a nice feeling. He discovered that deadwood floats long before he discovered how to make fire. And yet Rama, poor man, he didn't know how to make a raft. He would have crossed over, he wouldn't have waited 12 years. But the devil, Ravana, that is the devil, look, the devil did it just like that. Amazing.
What? He poor fellow 12 years. And he said, look, you, my friend, if somebody takes your wife behind the door for 2 minutes, and if you have the power to break the door down, break the wall down, what would you do with it? Break it down.
If you have the power, you wait.
Somebody with your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughter, huh? You wait for 12 years to rescue her? What kind of a God are you?
What is that guy doing with his wife? Can you imagine? Because if anybody steals somebody's wife, there's only one reason.
No, how old is that? Nobody steals people's wife to worship only your mighty God. You're very beautiful. You're very nice.
So the guy sees that. How ridiculous is that?
I said, you see, my forefathers, they saw the light, and they extricated.
Or we have another experience. You see,
the experience with Hinduism is so vast.
What if you look first, and the opportunities are there. Pass it on, pass it on. When you're passing on, you're actually programming him, you're brainwashing him away from what he's holding on to. Because his mind revolves. God! He can't save his own wife. And then somebody abducts your wife and he says, Rama, help me, oh Rama, help me. And how can the poor Rama help you when he couldn't help his own wife?
I had a couple from Rhodesia, old Rhodesia. They call themselves spiritualist white people. They came to the office, that's some time back. And
now how do you people come to find out? I said, no. He says, our priest, you know, when we close for our Christmas holidays, he read from the Quran, you know, the birth of Jesus. And at the end of it, he said that, you know, this book speaks about Jesus and his mother in a nobler and a sublimer term than anything to be found in the Bible. So they said, did you get it? He said, look, when I was in Zululand, I was reading the Sunday Tribune, and in that there was an advert, and I wrote for the Quran, and I got it, which he used. So that is where he got our address from. So we come to see you. Very good. And we found these spiritualist Christians. They call themselves spiritualists. They don't belong to any other of these Orthodox churches. They are so tolerant, they are so good, that while I'm talking to them, they're very, very happy with my explanation. But they had an attitude towards all religions, that all religions are the same and all religions are equal. They say all the rivers go into the ocean and all the paths lead up to the top of the mountain. That's actually the Hindu program. This is how the Hindus program people. So all rivers go into the ocean. You know, man, all the paths lead you to the top of God. Any path you take, you reach there. See, whether you take Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianism, communism, anything you take, you reach there. What are you worried about? You don't have to become a Muslim, you don't have to become this or that, you know, just take any path, it'll take you there. You be a good Christian, I'll be a good Hindu. You be a good Muslim, I'll be a good Hindu. You see, you don't interfere with me, I don't interfere with you. Sounds very, very good, very, very, you know, charitable. So these people now are brainwashed with that type of idea. All religions are the same, and they're all equal. And I'm telling them all religions are not the same, and they're not equal. And the more I argue, the more it creates the impression that we Muslims are very intolerant. He is tolerant, he is prepared to concede that Islam is equal to his, but I am not prepared to concede that all are equal. More I argue, he was creating a bad taste in the mouth. So I said, now let's change the whole situation. So I'm telling them, I said, look, have you visited the mosque? He says, no. I said, come, I will take you to the mosque and see, you know, how you Muslims pray. And they came, took off the shoes, I won't go into detail, took off the shoes, so I made Guru explain, saw the Salah, he came out, very impressed, very impressed. I said, now, have you been to the Roman Catholic Cathedral at the next door? You know, next to the Juma Masjid, is the Roman Catholic Cathedral. He said, yes, yes. So I said, now, you know, Muslims, you know how they behave in their mosque, you know what it looks like, you know what a Christian cathedral looks like. Have you seen a Hindu temple? He says, no. I'll come, I'll take you. So I took them in my car to Amgeni Road, near the grave where there is now this main station. Just a few hundred yards from there is the largest temple in South Africa. The largest mosque in the Southern Hemisphere, Durban. The largest temple in South Africa, Durban. Durban is unique. So I took them to the temple. Now, you tell people that it's people with a temper. But the Chinese have a saying, one picture is worth 10,000 words. So I'm telling you, Hanuman, you know what? This is Hanuman. Ganesh! I said, this is Ganesh. You'll come to him again. So one picture is worth 10,000 words. So let me take them to the temple. All same? Let me hear, get it from their mouth. So I took them to the temple. You also have to take off all the shoes. We took them off. And we went into the main hall, a hall like this, about this size. And at the end of the hall, there were three cubicles. But before going to the things, I got the supervisor. I said, please, these are visitors from Indonesia, and they like to see what's going on. I said, oh, you explain. In my mind, I said, let's get it from the horse's mouth. Okay? I said, please, you must explain to them what is going on, what you have got here. I forced the fellow. He didn't like it. So we started. From the left hand side. There are three cubicles. Left hand side. So in that room there, we see this statue. This is a picture, but we see a statue. I said, who's this? He said, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. I said, what's his name? He said, his name is Ganesh. I said, oh. Outside, there was something like a bullock, black, made of stone. I said, what is this? He said, this God is looking after that God. He was Kumar Nijal. Guardian angel. Like a guardian angel. You laughing? These are the gods of our ancestors. Respect. He's actually got the body of a man and the head of an elephant. Can you see that? I said, how does it come about? How can a human being have an elephant head? So the story is that you see, this is the Almighty God of the Hindus, or we are coming to him. We are coming to him just now. This is Shiva, and this is wife Parvati. This is Shiva and his wife Parvati. Now, Shiva is God, but he thought of going and contemplating about God. So he's telling his wife, seeking permission, look, darling, let me go. I want to contemplate about he's God, but he wants to contemplate about God. So he goes into the bundus. This is Hindu mythology. So he goes into the bundus in the wilderness, and for 12 years he's away. You know, contemplating about God. And after 12 years, he returns. You know, bearded and all. He comes home, and he knows his house. And there, outside the house, there is a young boy, 12 year old, son of God. His son, he didn't know. See, anyway, he didn't know his wife was pregnant. So by the time he returns, there's a young boy, 12 year old, is waiting there. The old man, where are you? Old man, after 12 years, then his wife is there. Get out of the way, you're bloody rubbish. He's the son of a God. He's not to be easily moved. Nothing doing. You know, I won't allow you to go. You know, his mother's life is in danger. He's got that feeling for his mother. So, no, I won't allow you to go. So, Shiva, he takes out his sword and chops off his head. In the meantime, the body falls. His son hears him. This is his son. He chops off his head. So, Parvati comes out. So, oh, what have you done? Oh, son, oh, son. Son, yes, this is your son. What have you done? Shake up the head quickly. Bring the head. What Chris Barnard couldn't do. They're looking for the head. And you know if God hits, how hard he hits. Across the seven seas. Across the seven seas. They're hunting for the head and they can't find the head. And the body's getting cold. So he said, look, maybe any head will do. Bring a head. And so there was a baby. And if elephant grazing, there's a chop of the head and they put it on. Chris Barnard couldn't have done that, sure. Chris Barnard, poor fellow. You know? So he did. That's how he's got the elephant head. So this is the Son of God, Shiva is the Father, and this is the Son. He's got an elephant head, this is how transplant took place. That must be about 4,000 years ago. This man is just going to be finished. Now we come to the center. The center, the main object, you can't see too well here. Here. You see this there. It's worth visiting. Well, no. We must visit this temple. You know why? Then you will appreciate that Islam is done for you. That had it not been for Islam, your mother and your sister and your wife and your daughter would have been garlanding this. If Islam did nothing for you but save you from garlanding this, I want to know what you're going to pay to Islam for that. Just that. This thing here is the Almighty God. This is the big thing like this, big column like this. It had a crown on top of it. So I'm asking for the benefit of my visitors. I said, what is this? So he said, this is the Almighty God. I said, what's his name? His name is Shiva Linga. Look, I know what Linga is. See, Gujarati, I don't know how many of you know Gujarati, but Gujarati is my mother tongue and 40% of my language is Sanskrit. See? And I know I'm born in India, terminologies and all I know. So I'm asking this supervisor for the benefit of the relations. I says, what is Lingam? The guy smiles. I said, please tell us. What is Lingam? He starts to giggle. That's a joke aside. This is not a thing to joke about. Almighty God, and you laughing, you grinning. This is not something to joke about. I said, tell us, what is Lingam? He can't. He opened his mouth. So I had to put it in his mouth. So I said, is that the male organ of procreation? He said, yes. I said, oh. You see, if you want to see this word, you must get the Oxford Dictionary. L-I-N-G-A-M. Lingam. Oxford Dictionary. It tells you it's a phallus. If you don't know what a phallus is, look it up in the dictionary. It'll tell you something else. And if you don't know that, then you have been wasting your father's money. So I said, look, what have you got it in? It's in something. This thing was covered with a piece of cloth. No. I said, look, he's got no head. I'm telling you, he's got no head. He said, no, he's got. But I said, look, I can't see the head. And he has a crown on top of it. So she's got a mouth too. I said, but I've got no head. He says, he's got it. I said, okay, he's got it. What can you do? He said, I can't see the head. He says, he's got it. I said, I'll tell you. What have you put it in? He said, that's a pedestal. Yeah, I don't know. What do you call it? This pedestal, what do you call it? He says, Yoni, Y-O-N-I, Yoni. You must look up the Webster Dictionary. Oxford has got it. I don't know why. He'll tell you what it is. I said, what is Yoni? I said, look, please, jokes aside, tell us, what is Yoni? So I said, is that the female organ of procreation? He said, yes. I said, oh, you got the male organ and the female organ? Yes. Oh, is that the Almighty God? Yes. Oh. These are the words of my ancestors. Your ancestors, man. You must know. Then you'll be able to appreciate what the Son has done for you. Otherwise, you know, we are ungrateful wretches, a whole lot of us. We are ungrateful. Just pay 5 times a day using your paper. Just fasting and Ramadan using your paper. What the Son has done for you is to free you from that. Lingam Yoni worship, what are you prepared to pay for that? Go and see. Tell our daughter. I was telling our daughter, you know, through this our friend, Mr. Daru. He's a lecturer there, Durban West. When he was a young man, I'm telling him, I said, look, man, all those girls that are staying with you people there, I'm prepared to give you a free bus. I will take you to the temple, I'll bring you to the mosque, and I'll lecture to you what goes on. To explain to our daughters what you are bargaining for. When Allah says, Ulaika yaduna ila an-nar, they are inviting you towards hellfire. Wallahu yadu ila al-jannati wal maghfira. Whereas Allah is inviting you to his jannah and his maghfira. Why you leave that and go towards jannah? Let them see. One picture is worth 10,000 words. Not the time when she's running away, then you say, nah, you know, he's a mushrik. That's the only time you say he's a mushrik. So she said, what is that, daddy? Explain to her. What is mushrik? She is not circumcised. She said, what difference does that make? Explain to her. Your daughter. Maybe she's carrying his baby now. Is that the time to talk? Show them what it is. This is it. Islam has freed you. Where are you going back? The next one. Next video. Subramani. South of Southern India. Four hands, two eyes. And you go further, another one. Oh, the gods and the goddesses. You know, of my ancestors. Shoot. I've got some pictures here. I hope, you know, the timid don't get terrified or horrified. This is Kalima. Chain of skulls. This is Kalima, our goddess of our forefathers. This is Krishna, Gopalan Krishna, in cowherd Krishna, the cowboy Krishna. This is a cow, he's a herd cowherd, and this is God. Same God, Krishna Sahib, you know, he finds some young girls, the cowherd girls, you know, girls who look after the cows. They are swimming in the water. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They were absolutely naked. Some of them, they put some sides around them. But they were in the water naked. They left the sides outside. So Krishna takes them onto the trees. He adorns the trees with the sides. This is according to the Rama, the Bhagavad Gita. So the poor thing, you know, human beings, how long can you remain in the water? After an hour, after hours, it's cold, man. The water becomes uncomfortable. All the pleasure is going away now. Fish, they want to come out. They can't come out, they're naked. So they're telling Krishna, says, please, my little devotee, sorry.
He says, no, you come out and I'll give it to you. So they came out, poor thing, with the hands around their private parts. He says, no, you take off your hands and I'll give them to you. So they have to take off their hands so they can get the sandwich back.
This is all our fast forward, our God of our ancestors. Islam is here. So now,
we went and saw.
Then there are 9 planetary gods representing the planets. You must go look at it. Huge table, stone table, on which there are 9 planets. And if a husband is sick, then the wife will go for 9 consecutive Saturdays with burning camphor, going around, offering coconuts, fruit, money, and in 9 weeks' time the husband will get well. And the credit goes to the gods. I'm asking, how many times were you sick for 9 weeks in your life? You. How many weeks were you sick in your life? 9 weeks? Man, nature takes its course. The man gets caught and the credit goes to the gods, and the priest eats the food and takes the money. So, when everything was over, I'm coming out, tying our shoelaces again, once more. I'm asking, I said, now, you know what we saw here? Either this is right, or when God spoke to Moses, as we did in the Bible, God says, I shall have no graven images before me, not even of the likeness of the things on earth, or in the heavens above, or in the waters beneath the sea, for my name is jealous and I am a jealous God. Nothing before me. Either Moses was right, or this is right. I'm asking, who is right? He said, no, Moses is right. I said, Moses is right, then this is wrong. He said, yes. I said, they're not the same. He says, no. Right. There's a formula. What do you say that? So, this is just the answer. In other words, the job is done. Can you see, one picture is worth 10,000 words. If I explain like this, like that, Have a look at this. This is it. And the other picture, mental picture here. Between the two, you see any difference? Both can be right. This is right, they're wrong, and that is right, and that is right, this is wrong. Yes. They're not the same. No. Now, you know, you can explain. There are so many things. And as I said, you know, clinically, taking up idea by idea, this reincarnation business. How did that come about? You see, when my ancestors, you know, 5,000 years ago, you see, they came from Mesopotamia of old, what is now modern Iraq. There were certain Indo-Germanic tribes, according to the anthropologists, 5,000 years ago. And the grazing ground was getting too tight for them. So they started moving out. One went north, the other came south through the Khyber Pass into India, and one remained. The ones that went north are the Germans. They said, we are the Aryans, the master race. You remember Hitler? And the swastika? You'll find some swastikas here too. You'll find some swastikas in the Hindu pictures. Should be something like that. Swastikas. What happened to the swastikas? Very hilarious. So, Hitler had his swastika. You know that cross? And my Hindu cousin, they also have swastikas. I was wondering, what is this? Because Bhimani Sen came, they made this beautiful design and this swastika. So this guy, why are they copying Hitler? No, they were not copying Hitler. See, 5,000 years back, this was the emblem of the Aryans. The Germans said, yeah, the Aryans, the master race. My cousin, now, if I was not a Muslim, I would have also be saying, I'm an Aryan, you know, the master race. 5,000 years ago, you see, we were one people, the Germans, the Iranians and my Banga cousin. We were one people 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years of intermarriage with the Nordic people and the climate and the diet made the Germans what they are. 5,000 years of intermarriage with the Indian people and the climate made my people what they are. The Iranian is the nearest to what an Aryan ought to be. The Iranian. The Iranian is not an Arab. He's an Aryan. The Shah of Iran, he was boasting an Arya Mahar, the light of the Aryan. See, but he's also got a lot of Arab blood, a lot of Turkish blood, the Iranian nation, but he's the nearest to what a true Aryan ought to be. But racially, bone structure, my Hindustani and Banya cousins, and the Iranians and the Germans are one racial stock 5,000 years back. Now, when they conquered India, see, they were a lighter complexion people, and they walked into India with the sword and the spears. They walked into a town, they said, this is ours.
and the people gave him no fight. He said, the gods have come to take their inheritance. It's all yours, Bas.
What in their village says this is ours?
So Bas, take it. They took India without fight. They took India without the sword and the spear. These were docile people. The Indian people, very docile. Then, that's 5,000 years ago, they just walked in, conquered. Now my ancestors, you know, they were very clever people. So 5,000 years ago, I said, they made gold jewelry. 5,000 years ago, they made a muslin cloth. 5,000 years ago, they had a water bansure. When the white man was living in caves like animals, my ancestors were civilized. What happened? Allah tells you in the Quran. He tells you what happened. So, kun siyuhu fil ard. They travel through the earth. Fanzuru and see. Kaifa kana akibat. Qabl, what has happened to those before you? Kana akthar an-nasi mushrik. Another place, again, kul siru filat, the kana akthar nasi, munkiru, kana akthar nasi, kafiru. Again and again, Allah says, go and travel through the earth and see. What has happened to them before you? Most of them were mushrik, most of them were unbelievers, kafir, most of them were ungrateful wretches. So, see what happened to them. Learn a lesson from that. Allah said, these people, they were worshipping the elements. Rama didn't make a raft because he was afraid of the sea god. That's the reason. He knew that they would float. But so, you know, the sea god might get angry. So, he says, no, slowly, we'll put, you know, rocks into the water. You know, the sea god can still slip away. And then, took them 12 years and they crossed. See, India is such a civilized nation. They couldn't cross to Mombasa. You know that? They didn't cross to Mombasa. But the Arabs came, and the Portuguese came, and the French came, and the British came and conquered over there. Right? They were not afraid of the sea god. My cousins, they were afraid of... Look, they were mushrik, worshipping the elements. This is the reason. But, highly intelligent people. So they said, look man, India is a land of teeming millions, even then, compared to themselves. They were past 10,000 men, women and children. But because of fighting people, they conquered the land. Now what to do? They had the sense to know what Jesus Christ only said 2,000 years ago. He told his people in the Garden of Gethsemane that he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Means the force of arms is the thing that justifies your existence. By force of arms, somebody is going to do away with you. This is not a means for justifying our relative. See, my Hindu ancestors, they knew this 5,000 years ago. So they said, you know, we must weave an intellectual bondage around these people, the Indians. Physical bondage, because it is visible. Once you realize what it is, you can easily break it. Like in Mozambique, 500 years the Portuguese ruled Mozambique. When the African came to realize, the Mozambican, so what makes this guy rule us? He's not stronger than us. He's not more than us. It's his technology. It's his gun. But you must also get the gun. I said, no, they won't let us have it. So China said, we will let you have it. Russia said, we will let you have it. They had their own reason. So what the Portuguese had for 500 years, they lost in 10 years. Once you know what it is that's subjugating you, once you see the shackles, the bondage, you know how to break it. Physical bondage, because it is visible, it is more easily broken. My ancestors, they wove an intellectual bondage. Intellectually, when you enslave a man, he's happy in his enslavement. So they saw the people in India, the South Indians, the Tamils and the Telugu, the natives of the land, they're worshipping Shiva. Shiva. This is the god of ancient India. Shiva. So my ancestors, they told these guys, he said, look, we worship the same god, man, but we call him Shiva. What's the difference? You say Shiva, you say Shiva. Same. But you see, Shiva, when he wanted to make man, he took the form of Brahma. And Brahma is the creator, from his head he created the Brahman. From his arms he created the Rajputs, the warrior caste. From his stomach he created the merchants and the farmers. And from his feet he created the untouchables, you, teeming millions of Indians. You are to be the hewers of wood and the drawers of water. You must carry your sheep bucket. You must bury your dead animals. You must become a shoemaker and a barber. That's your privilege. And if you do that job well, in the next life, you have a chance of becoming a farmer or a merchant. And if you're a good farmer and a good merchant, in the next life you become a Rajput, the warrior caste. And if you become a good Rajput, in the next life you become a Brahman. Once you are a Brahman, you don't have to be reborn. See, from there you merge with God. You get Nirvana. You become one with God and you rule the universe. Beautiful song. It worked. 4,000 years. It's working. It's still working today. You know that? It's a beautiful bonding. Intellectually, you enslave people, make them accept your theory. Once they accept, they're willingly your slaves. So coming from Verlaine again, Ottawa.
I see some Hindustani ladies. From the way they are attired, I can say they are Hindustani. I can't describe it, but I don't know. When I see a Hindustani in a Tamil, I know this is Hindustani, this is Tamil. There's something about them, the way they wear the sari. So I stopped the car. There are a couple of ladies with some children. I stopped the car. I said, Beni Tumba Kaikata. Sisters, where are you going? He said, Darbanja. I said, get inside. So they got inside. I started the car. So since they answered my question, in Hindustan, it's a Beni Tumba Kaikata, I know they are Hindustan, 100%. So I said, I'm asking Mr. Beni, Tumba Kaikata, Tumba Singh Rata Ka Maharaja Rata. What are you? Are you Singh or Maharaja? So the lady said, "Hum log singh mein rehta, hum log maharaj mein rehta." I said, "Tum kya rehta? What are you then?
You are neither fish nor fowl. What are you?"
He said, "Hum log ahir rehta, ahir. You are the untouchable among the Hindustani. Ahir is a low caste among the Hindustani people." I said, "Beni, this is all very rubbish. You know, my forefathers, they created all this to enslave you people. Right? There is no truth in this. They were fighting tooth and nail against me." They said, "Nahi, Malik ne humko aisa banaya." This is the duty of an intellectual bondage. You see, when you want to free the slave doesn't want to be free. That's how they were my forefathers. So they invented all these things to enslave the people, to rule the people better. And they did a beautiful job. But they went out to do their duty. But now it is our duty to free them from this bondage. The Christian is making inroads into the community. The guy is free for all. See? The reason why we are not getting converts is because we don't open our mouths. We are too damn busy hiding ourselves in this ocean of Christianity. In this ocean, we are also in an ocean of Hinduism. We are a minority of a minority. But we are not interested in propagating the faith. And the punishment for that is there for you to see. It's a punishment of Allah. Allah doesn't come down from the heaven to the wilderness. I am the Khabis of Qutum Khan Nekasa. The thing that you value most, your daughters. The daughters are holy. We are busy, so look, Hamara khud ka thikana nahi hai. That is what the people are saying. Look at us, we are not perfect. I'm asking, when will you be perfect, my son? My boy, you tell me. Huh? I said, go and ask the greatest alim you know, ask him whether he's perfect. Whether he's perfect? If he said yes, I said, he's shaitan, big shaitan. If the man says yes, I'm perfect, I said, big shaitan. The great man, in humility, says, man, I'm a mubahat gunahkar, may Allah have mercy on me, pray for me. This is every man, good man, will tell you that. So when will you be perfect? When will you open your mouth? In the meantime, the enemy is going to wait for you. Is he waiting? Look at the example of our Nabi Kareem and the Ashab. They give you examples. The very people who are stopping me from doing propagation, they give you beautiful examples. But they can't see the natural consequence of the example they are giving. I am listening in the Western Mosque. A great man from India is giving this beautiful example. He says, you know, in the Hajjatul Wida, the first pilgrimage, the last pilgrimage, they were 110,000 Ashaba. And our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his first sermon, khutbah, he's asking them, he says, have I delivered my message to you? Has my message reached you? And they, in one voice, they all said, most certainly, it has. So he lifts up his eyes towards heaven, and says, Ya Bari Ta'ala, you be a witness for this, that I have delivered my message. And you, my brethren, that are present here, pass this message to those who are absent, who are not here. The message that you have received, pass it on to those who are absent. And they scattered throughout the world. Out of the 110,000 Muslims that were there, not even 10,000 are buried in the lake. What happened to them? They went away to find saucers. What happened? What happened to them? No, they understood the meaning of whatever Nabi Kareem said. Spread out throughout the world. They went to India, they went to China, they went to Indonesia, they went to Nigeria, they went as far as Mozambique. They did the job. That's the example. You're giving that example, but it says, now you know what? You people must come along. You know, we're going to have a little jamaat there to fulfill that example. Where? We're going to gather something. In some more.